Now, I remember on New Year's Eve, with this difficult cough to get through, going into Boots the chemist to try and get something to kind of calm it down. And the lady behind me had a top on that declared something to everybody that probably was in Shirley on that day. And it simply said this top that she was wearing, the message that was there, big and bold. She said, "Seen it all, done it all, can't remember most of it." Now listen, we may not remember most of what happens to us as we get older, but Haley, I promise you, won't forget this day in her life any more than I can forget the day in my life when I was baptized, because this is what I'm going to call this morning a standout moment. You've had a standout moment. Wasn't it Alfred Nobel, the inventor of dynamite, who read his own obituary in the paper, and he was shocked. He was shocked not only to discover that he was dead, you would be, wouldn't you? But also that he was being described as the man who had made it possible to kill more people and more quickly than anybody else who'd ever lived up to that point. And it certainly became a standout moment in his life, because that is not how he wanted to be remembered. So he decided to use his vast fortune to reward the best in others. And since 1901, as many of you will know, they've given out Nobel Prizes. You ever had a standout moment in your life? I know for my wife, that moment came in 1979 when she first met me. Or was that my standout moment? I'm never quite sure, one or the other. But listen, we all have them, don't we? Standout moments where, even if unlike that lady's top, we haven't yet seen it all, we haven't yet done it all, we certainly can bring to mind those standout moments of what we have seen and what we have done. And in what we had read to us this morning from Isaiah, Isaiah had no trouble remembering this standout moment in his life. Not only could he put a date on it, which had significance in itself, because all of God's word is rooted in the truth and historicity of life itself, but also he's able to determine the life-changing significance and impact of it as well. Now, I can't know this morning where everyone here is coming from. I can't know what everyone here is going through. I don't even know why everyone here is here this morning at all. But I do know that Isaiah's standout moment here in the presence of God can be each and every one of ours too. The moment we stand out and embrace what I'm going to give you as a thought to treasure, a standout moment in and of itself. And if you remember nothing else of this morning, I hope that you can take this to your hearts. Can you read that? We will never see ourselves for what we really are until we see God for who he really is. I know the sun's beaming in on that, so let me say it again. We will never see ourselves for what we really are until we see God for who he really is. Now they say that the definition of a farmer is a man who's outstanding in his own field. You understand that? But the standout moment that defines any life, for the better and for the good, both now and forever, is one that arrives when, like Isaiah, we see what Isaiah saw. And what did Isaiah see? Well, he tells us himself, verse 1. I saw the Lord. There's his testimony. Haley's going to come up in a few moments. She's going to share her testimony. This is Isaiah's testimony. I saw the Lord. We need to see what Isaiah saw. He had a vision of God, and he had a vision from God, and the vision was all about God, allowing him to see God as he really is. Holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty. Who, and this is the key thing, when we see God as Isaiah saw God, we understand he doesn't want a religious experience for us. What he wants is a personal relationship with us. You never see the Lord as you need to see the Lord until you understand that. He doesn't want to bring us into a religious routine. He doesn't want us to see just a church building. He doesn't want us simply to embrace a church practice. He wants to see us, for us to see him as he really is, in all of his glory and in all of his holiness. There to be worshipped and there to be adored. Because after all, we're all worshippers. We're all worshippers. It's not a question of whether we worship. It's simply a question of who we are worshipping. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever seen Toy Story. Now, if you've got children or grandchildren, you've seen it 1,000 times. Some of you, I know, will know the story well. And this character, Buzz Lightyear, is integral to it. He believes he's on a mission to get himself back home. Don't understand he's a toy. He's got ambition above and beyond that. He wants to get back home. And on one occasion, he goes into this pizza parlor and he sees this gaming machine that's shaped like a space rocket. I don't know if it's ringing any bells for you. And of course, he gets himself into this space rocket, as he thinks it is, but it's just a gaming machine with lots of, if you've seen the film, you'll know it, these little three-eyed little green aliens. Is this ringing any bells for anybody? Okay? Is it pulling on your string? I hope it is. But if not, don't worry about it. So he's in this spaceship with all these toys, and he says, now who's in charge? He says, who's in charge? Who's the big boy around here? And together in unison, as they all look up, they point to the claw. The claw is in charge. And just as that point, just to prove the point, this little boy comes along, puts his coin in the slot, and the claw begins to move and then suddenly descends and grabs hold of one of these little three-eyed aliens. And as this little alien's been lifted up out of the machine, he says, I've been chosen, farewell, or something to that degree. But the point is, all of these little aliens, in their own little world, they worshipped the claw. Now, the claw for us may not be what they had as that claw. The claw for us that is master and controller of our lives, if I can put it like, maybe our job, it may be our career. You know, it may be a particular possession that we've got. It may be our own goals and plans for our own lives. It may even be the church. God forbid it's the pastor, because it shouldn't be. But when we see God as Isaiah saw God, our hearts will want to go out to worship him. That when people say, who is in charge around here? Who do you look to for your life and your hope and your purpose? Well, we can look up, as it were, and see what Isaiah saw and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Have you seen God in that sense this morning? Well, Isaiah was well positioned to see it, wasn't he? You know, he's in the temple. It's exactly where God had said to his people in that day that he would be, the place that God had chosen to represent his presence on earth at that time. Isaiah was positioned to see God the way that God wanted him to see him. You know, we can hardly say, can we, that God is silent if we never open our Bible. Are we positioned to see God? Are we positioned to hear God? We can hardly say God is absent if we're never present. God doesn't dwell in a building, but listen, folks, he does make it clear to us that he inhabits the praises of his people. And that's so important for us to know. Because maybe, if you're anything like me, and I've been in the past, you've got so used to showing up at church, not expecting to experience God in any fantastic way, that you've just settled for a routine that is far lower than God wants you to experience. You ever been there? It's like when I go to eat at McDonald's. I'll be honest with you. I go to eat at McDonald's a lot. I've got 6 grandchildren. But every time I go, I don't go expecting a great meal. I honestly don't. My expectations are not that high. If the fries are warm, the nuggets are done, and my drink is wet, successful trip. That is it. You know, and yet sometimes, even with such low expectations, I still end up disappointed. Now, maybe sometimes we come to church like that, don't we? You know, if the songs are okay, the message is short, but it's never short, the seats are endurable, the people are friendly. Well, you know, that's enough. I mean, that'll do us. You know, but look, see what Isaiah saw. Never going to happen, is it? Encounter God in a way that our hearts go out in worship to Him. Not as the claw, not as the one who brings us into bondage, but as the one who releases us to the fullest of the potential that He's placed in us. Is that asking too much? I mean, I've been in church like that, haven't you? You know, I grew up in a church where they used to put the hymn numbers up. And as exciting as it got for me is when we played bingo with those hymn numbers. You know? But I'm not here condemning anybody because I've been there. And the good news is, and this is the good news is that God, as He did with Isaiah, so often meets us at the time when our own King Uzziah has just died. At the time, if I can put it like this, at the time of our greatest disappointment, at the time of our lowest expectation, at the time of our biggest doubt, that's exactly when Isaiah saw the Lord. And why shouldn't it be when we might see the Lord? You might be here this morning. It's a bit weird what's going on, isn't it? What are you going to do with Haley in here? Well, you'll see a little bit later on. It might look strange, but it's only a picture on the outside of what God has done on the inside of her. Nothing really weird about it, but it might look strange. You might have questions and doubts, but that's great. That's great, because that is exactly the time when God's prepared to show us things that we might never have had our eyes open to see before. That's when Isaiah saw the Lord. The moment when his life made no sense. The moment when he hurt the most because King Uzziah had just died. The moment when he felt the most vulnerable because with the death of a king at that time and in that culture, you were prone to attack by the enemy when the king that had been so long and so strong in power like King Uzziah, 52 years, was now dead. He felt vulnerable. And the moment too where he knew that the people of God within that time, within that culture, had reduced life with God down to nothing more than a religious routine. That's when Isaiah saw the Lord. And maybe you're dry in your own experience of God this morning. Maybe you've come expecting nothing more than just to get the cup of coffee at the end of the service. I don't know. But I am telling you this. If you're going to see what Isaiah saw and have that standout moment with the Lord, understand Isaiah had it not when he was up, when he was down. Not when he was expecting much, but when he wasn't. Not when it was all well in his world, but when it was all wrong. For then God reveals himself to be alive, even when everything else might suggest that he's dead. That God is in control even when humankind thinks that it's master of its own destiny. Then God can break in and break through and we can see God as Isaiah saw. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that what we're looking for in our lives? More than just coming to church, but actually knowing the head of the church. More than just working through something, but actually enjoy the working out of something. Because we know that we've got a holy God. I haven't got time this morning, as you can understand. I'm looking at the clock there to unpack everything that this standout moment with God for Isaiah meant. But the sight of it, the might of it, and the height of it pointed to what we all need to see. That the symbol of God's position there is in the robe that filled the temple. The symbol of God's purity here is in the blushing angels who even in their own magnificence had to cover their eyes in the presence of God. The symbol of his presence as the temple was filled with smoke. The symbol of his power as the doorposts and the thresholds shook. And when we see God as Isaiah saw God, do you know what you find? I tell you that grudges against those who've hurt us will fall away. Temptations that long held us will lose their hold on us. Competition to be first in our life will be over. An opportunity for giving back will not only be found, but will be taken. Have you seen God as Isaiah saw God? Well, if you have, then the other thing you're going to notice, and this is, by the way, I put this here because in an uncertain world, when you know that God is on the throne, even when your king is dead, understand the one political maxim, as John Newton said, which comforted him then and comforts me now, the Lord reigns. Amen? Now, if you see God as Isaiah saw God, then in the second place, what's going to happen? You're going to sense God as Isaiah sensed God. He didn't sense his own rightness when he saw God. He didn't sense what was wrong with everybody else in the world when he saw God. He senses his own wrongness in light of the fact that this God is thrice holy and right in every way. And what's the reaction once he senses that? Well, there it is up there for you. He says, woe is me. I am ruined. In the AV, it says, I am undone. Literally in the Hebrew, I'm coming apart at the seams. His life was unraveling. When you don't see God as God wants you to see him, as he really is, for all he's truly got to offer, your life, however good it is, at some point is going to come apart at the seams. And so God shows us himself so we get a sense of what's wrong with us. Because if you're anything like me, I never knew that my biggest problem was me until I saw God as I needed to see him. Have you discovered that yet? Put me in mind of that old Tommy Cooper sketch. Do you remember Tommy Cooper? Some of you? Wake up the person next to you and say, do you remember Tommy Cooper? Tommy Cooper, do you remember that sketch where he goes into the doctor? He says, doctor, he says, I'm dying. Everywhere I touch hurts. If I touch my left shoulder, it hurts. If I touch my right shoulder, it hurts. If I touch my leg, it hurts. If I touch my head, it hurts. Doctor, I'm dying. The doctor says, examining him, he says, you're not dying. You just got a broken finger. Do you not remember that? When you see God as he really is, what you get is a sense of who you truly are. Because you'll never see yourself as you truly are until you see God as he truly is. When you see how big God is, you get a sense of how small you are. Now, please, don't misunderstand me. Small you may be, insignificant you are not. If you were insignificant, God would never have sent his son into this world to give his life to bring us back into the rightness of a relationship with God when it was all wrong with us. You couldn't be more significant to God. God has got a heart that goes out to you and a heart that goes out to me, but measured against him, his holiness, I'm sinful. Measured against his deity, I'm dirty. Measured against his fullness, I come up so very short. Let me just read it to you again. Woe to me, I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. You know, what is he? Well, Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, what comes out here is a reflection of what goes on in here. The heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. And my eyes have seen the King, he says. Now, that's not a bad thing, because if we don't know what the problem is, we're never going to get it fixed, are we? It's like when my dentist takes an x-ray of my teeth to see what he can't see above the surface. You ever been in that position? He doesn't do it simply to find a problem that doesn't exist, does he? He does it to find and to reveal the problem that does. And he doesn't do it because he's being nasty and he wants to spoil my day. He's doing it because he's being kind and he wants to protect my smile. Even though, if I'm being strictly honest, there are times when I might doubt it. You know, especially when I see the car he's driving outside. But you know what I mean. But listen, God does not open our eyes to our sins and our failings simply to point them out. He does so because he wants to save us from them. And you see God as Isaiah saw God, and you sense from God what Isaiah sensed from God, and you know that you're going to come up short. There's no denying it. There's no hiding it. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It will be a standout moment when we sense it and allow God to act upon it for us. I said earlier, I know it was a joke, and you know, I love her dearly, but my wife had her standout moment with me all those years ago because she believed. She genuinely believed she was a great table tennis player. She did. You know, she's laughing because she knows this is the truth. And I'm now beginning to get worried next time she gets up to say something. And she asked when we were at college for somebody to come and give her a real good game of table tennis. That's when I turned up and she lost the match. But she did win my heart. I know it's soppy, but it's true. And I'm saying to you this morning, when we sense what Isaiah sensed and we own up to our shortcomings, do you know what you'll find? You'll find what Kathy found. We've got the heart of God. We've got the heart of God. He didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us. We're already condemned. He didn't come to rub our noses in the filth of our life. He comes to lift us up and set us on solid ground for the rest of our lives. Not only to enjoy it in the here and now, but in the there and then. You had that standout moment with the Lord when you know that your sin has been forgiven. Isaiah had his lips cleansed by a coal from the altar. And he couldn't do it himself. God had to step in and do the cleansing for him. If you and I could get good enough to be right with God by ourselves, do you think he would have sent his son into this world to be born as a baby, to grow up to be a man, to give his life on that cross and to be resurrected from the dead? If we could do it for ourselves, we can't do it for ourselves. God knew we couldn't do it for ourselves, so he's come down to us. And in that cross, Jesus was burnt up for us and became the hot coal through which the forgiveness and cleansing of our lives comes freely and fully and forever in God. Do you see him like that? Do you sense him like that? Well, last of all, if you do, then you're going to say what Isaiah said. In response, as the worshipper you now are, and the work that God has now done, he says, Lord, whatever you're going to ask, here am I, send me. Have we got that? Did I put that up? Yeah. He had no idea where he would go. He's a bit like Paul and Jen in that sense. Got an inkling, but no full idea. He's got no idea what he's going to go on and do, where he would have to leave, and why it would work. But he simply says in response to the Lord that he's seen and the sin in his life that he's sensed that God has dealt with, wherever you go, or wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you ask me to do, I'll do. Whatever you want me to give, I'll give. And we'll never have that attitude of Isaiah unless we see God for who he is, sense our sin for what it is, and say yes to God for all he asks. The moment he gets his heart clean, he hears God's call. In a moment, Haley's going to give her testimony. I was converted at 15, and almost the first thing that I did was to tell my English teacher the very next day that I'd come to faith in Christ. And she said, that's a very good thing to do, she said, but you'll soon get over it. Well, I'm here 45 years later. And I can tell you today, I've never gotten over it. I never will get over it. Because when you see God as Isaiah saw God and you sense what Isaiah sensed from God, what can you do than say to the Lord, here am I. Send me. Use me. Bless others through me. That's what he wants for each and every one of us. And Haley's here to be baptized because she has seen what Isaiah saw. Messed. Not in exactly the same way, of course, but she's encountered God. She's encountered God. And she sensed what Isaiah sensed, aware of her own condition, that she comes up short before God. She's confessed our sin and received the forgiveness and life from God that he offers as a free gift at his expense. And now, as she comes into the water of baptism, she's basically saying what Isaiah said. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'll do. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. However you want me to act, I'll act. I'm in your hands. This is a blank page. I sign my name to the bottom of it. Please, God, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, fill in the details, because that's good enough for me. Folks, here it is. We will never, can you see it now? See ourselves for what we really are until we see God for who he really is. Which is why, as I've told you before in the past, baptism is not the way we become a follower of Christ. It is the way we show we are a follower of Christ. And I'm saying to you this morning that is a standout moment for Hayley. It's been a standout moment for me. I don't know where you've been, what you've seen, what you've done. Why not this morning admit your sin? Believe Christ for the forgiveness of it and commit your life to him. And even today, right here and now, this can become a standout moment in your life. Let's pray. Father, bless you for those moments that we do remember and we do treasure, because in them we saw you. And when we saw you as we needed to see you, we saw ourselves as we needed to see ourselves. And things that were wrong, you're helping us, continuing to help us put right, so that we can stand and say with Isaiah, Lord, we don't feel we got a lot to offer, but what we have got to offer, we're going to put in your hands, so that this worshiper becomes a worker in the very act of worshiping. Bless us, we pray, not simply for our own sake, but for your glory's sake and for the sake of this fellowship and this community, that they too, Lord, will have standout moments because they see you for who you are and they want to follow. Help us to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.